Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Folks, really quick, we're going to be talking with Craig Scott, brother to Rachel Scott, who was killed by Eric Dillon, Eric Harrison Dillon Klebold there in Columbine, April 20th, 1999. He's going to be joining us here in just a couple minutes, and it's really cool the way that this whole thing transpired. I was actually doing a ride along in Arizona with one of the sheriffs, and interestingly enough, he had told me that his cousin was Craig, so we made the connection to there, and I said, let's get him on the radio, because I have a care as to what took place during that school shooting, as do I have a lot of questions for Craig. And I just talked to him a couple minutes ago, and he said, I said, is there any limits? Is there a ceiling that you want to stop at? And he said, no, go ahead and ask what you will. So I'm going to do just that. We're going to have him up in just a moment here. Before we get to that, I wanted to cover this, friends. One of the things that we've been hearing, as a matter of fact, Trump is out there on the campaign trail talking about what the bad, corrupt government has done to this nation. And it's interesting, he's saying this hoping that people are not paying attention to the fact that he had 4 years to right the wrongs and he did nothing to do so. Justice guards our liberty. He did just the exact opposite. He didn't drain the swamp. One of the things that he was talking about was we can't pray in public schools anymore. And obviously this is a perfect segue into what we're going to be talking to Craig about there at Columbine and that shooting that took place. But I'm here to tell you, friends, we never lost the right. As a matter of fact, I was doing a radio program, and we just won a First Amendment victory in Boca Raton, Florida, where a school wanted to say Bradley Dean can't come in here and educate our people. Of course, that's not what they said, but they wanted to bar me from coming in and doing the high school assembly. Well, we had a lawsuit on their desk the very next day. We got the victory real quick. We went back. We did a high school assembly to a packed room of individuals who otherwise probably wouldn't have been there had not we been persecuted for being there in the first place. So with that said, I was doing a radio show and concerning that topic, and a guy kept talking about, you know, it just, we can't pray. The kids can't do this. They can't do that, this, that, and the other thing. And I just said to him, wait a second. I said, students still have the right to pray in a public school campus. I said that their parents have taught them to forfeit their God-given rights. If you want to understand 1 Timothy 6:2, then get in the fight. It seems like the American people are a part of everything but what they should be doing concerning what God commanded them to do. Read Proverbs 7:2. And I said to the guy, I said, the students never lost the right to pray in a public school campus. Of course, he didn't want to hear that. He just wanted everybody to follow in suit concerning his narrative that was completely false. Hey, friends, students have the right to read their Bible on a public school campus. They never lost the right. Students have the right to form Christian clubs on campus. They never lost the right. Students have the right to hand out tracts, Christian tracts, flyers, and or Christian material on campus. Friends, they never lost the right. Students have the right to do research papers, speeches, so on and so forth, with Christian themes. They never lost the right. Who is telling you that we lost that right? We never have. We never have. Students have the right to be exempted from participating in assignments that are contrary to their Christian beliefs. They never lost the right. The government can't come in and say there's no exemptions. They have no business. They have no authority in acting in a fashion that stands in contrast to our Constitution. Students have the right to discuss Christian issues. Even other students may overhear them. It matters not. We never lost the right. I want you to listen to this. Let's go all the way back. Let's go back to the old school, okay? Let's go back to Benjamin Rush. He was the signer of the Declaration of Independence. So you can understand where we came from. And listen to what it is that our forefathers established. Benjamin Rush said this. He said, if we were to remove the Bible from public schools, we would be wasting so much time punishing crimes and taking so little pains to prevent them. So is it not a given that the Bible was in public schools for what they were during that particular time? Not advocating public schools, but I am telling you the very principles in which our forefathers established this country once again are on the Bible, period. And if we don't want to listen to that, well, we're going to get more of what we've been getting. And Noah Webster comes in and reminds us that all the miseries and evils which men suffer from concerning vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war, they proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. So I'm going to bring this around as a positive. What happens when you actually stand up and fight for your rights? You win. And I'm highlighting right now on social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page. Go to SOL Radio, on the top of the page, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Subscribe to that page and then go to SOL Radio Live. Subscribe to that. And you can see on social media platforms what I'm highlighting even now. BeforeIt'sNews.com, top left side of the page. High school football coach fired for praying at games. He's now given $2 million settlement. Why? Because he understands what it means to actually fight for your God-given rights. Folks, there's nobody in this country that has been given the right to do the wrong thing. And this guy right here, like myself, found out on three different occasions, we've set three lawful precedents in this country in public schools, telling them to back off our First Amendment rights. Well, this is exactly what Joe Kennedy did in his particular situation at a high school as well. So talk to the young people and tell them, lead the way. Lead the way that they might emulate you. Hebrews 13:7. Go ahead and lead the charge and showing them how it is done, friends, because I'm quite frankly tired of going on social media platforms and listening to everybody narrate from the mainstream media that they say they don't believe in. I am tired of all the gloom and doom garbage. This is how we do it. We stand up and we fight. Folks, what we're going to be doing in just a couple minutes here is we're going to pull up Craig Scott. He was actually standing next to Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris when they were shooting kids down in the library. And we're going to get an eyewitness as to what took place there. And we're going to hear his story in just a moment. I do want to let you know, if you want to throw something up on social media platforms, you can do that. Leave a message. I'll do my best to pay attention. If you want to call in, I'll do my best to grab that call if I can. That number is 1-866-582-9933. 1-866-582-9933. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the sonsoflibertyradio.com, do remember, this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. Folks, it's so real to those that are in the benches, sitting on the seats, but it's very real to those that are on the field fighting the good fight of faith. Just here to remind you. Folks, we're going to be right back on the other side with Craig Scott. sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Again, we'll be right back. Hello, friends. This is Bradley Dean here at the sonsoflibertyradio.com, here to introduce you to our new friends at Herbonomic. Have you been searching for all natural health products you can depend upon? Herbonomic's special menu has all natural health products that you can trust. Our friends at Herbonomic have done their research and to ensure that they only source the highest quality products that they serve to their customer base. Visit us at herbanomic.com.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon Radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth of power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children, our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at BrighteonRadio.com.
Spring is in the air, and with the seasons changing and the hope of new things to come, now is the perfect time to visit our store at SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. At our store, you will find a plethora of wonderful products that will help you seek and save that which is lost. There are books, DVDs, T-shirts, and more, all containing an eye-opening message of truth, along with some brand new items that are sure to open men and women's eyes and bring people to the knowledge of the truth. Plus, by visiting our store and giving to the Sons of Liberty, you are helping us continue to reach both young and old with the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for some products that will have an impact for eternity and help to support us in reaching the masses, visit our store now at SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. That's SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. We are just holding on for Craig to jump up on here, folks. He's supposed to be here 3 minutes ago. And so anyways, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and show you some videos that you may have not seen in the process concerning Columbine. I'm just going to take you back in time a little bit so I can kind of tee this up.
This is Channel 4 Live. Can you tell us your name, please?
Chris Wisher.
This
Chris,
is
where were
April 20th, 1999.
Back in school, behind the cafeteria, when we heard what sounded like fireworks. So we went back. We started running. We came back. We just figured it was fireworks. We looked up. We saw two kids in trench coats with guns and another kid just standing there on the side of the school in white. We saw him. One of them turned at us, started shooting.
Toward you?
Yeah, towards us. We were probably 100 yards away. We fell to the ground, and then the bullets stopped. I don't know what he was doing. He might have been reloading or something. So we got back up. We looked over. We saw the kid in the white throwing the bombs on top of the school. It was some kind of grenade or something. I don't know what it was.
And he was dressed in white?
He was wearing a white shirt, yes. And I don't know whether
to the black
and
girls.
At that time we just ran.
Please don't give us any names, but did you recognize these students?
Yeah, I thought I recognized one of them.
As a current student?
Yeah.
Okay, glad you're okay. Have you reconnected with your mom and dad then?
Yeah, I've talked to them. They're probably watching right now.
Well, I hope you're okay. Thanks so much for talking, Carol. You know, we're with Chris. You're one of the ones who said you saw the gunman shooting at you.
Yes.
Correct? He was shooting at you.
Yeah.
Now, you say you saw police just arrest him?
Well,
don't give us a name on the air, but go ahead and tell us what happened.
He got in a black police car. Police had a lot of security around him. It's the kid that I've seen around school a lot. I'm pretty sure that's him. I'm not going to say it's a 100% guarantee that was him, but I'm almost positive it was.
Is he the the one you believe was shooting at you on the playground today?
Yes, I believe it was.
Was he dressed in a trench coat?
Yeah.
Well, see how he's see how she's coaching him now? Remember he originally said it was a white shirt? He said it several times. Now she's saying, was it a black trench coat? That's called coaching, friends.
Was it, but he was there.
Was he handcuffed?
Yeah.
Was he talking? Were police?
He was just quiet.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. I know that's emotional for you. I'm sorry you're upset. Thanks so much for talking to us. Again, he describes the situation where they were
he
out
looked like
the,
he was doing
on the grounds of the school
friends.
At lunchtime. That this group, that this.
Okay, so let me show you one more here, friends. And it's interesting because we're not being told any of this.
Just
so.
If I could identify
here's another
any
kid.
Gunman.
Because tell me, you actually saw the gunman and they were firing at you and your group?
Yeah.
Describe that scene. And
well, me and my friend Chris were just out during lunch by the student parking lot, and we heard what sounded like firecrackers, and so we looked over and we saw some guys with guns creeping around a corner, and we thought it was like a senior prank or something, so we just kept watching to see what they were going to do, and we saw them shoot three kids, and so we like started going back on the soccer field, and he looked at us, and then he started shooting at us, and so we like fell to the ground, and then we got back up after he stopped shooting, and we saw a guy in a white t-shirt throw some bombs or something on the top of the school.
Did they appear to be targeting certain students or just whoever was in their path?
It didn't really look like they were aiming at kids. It just looked like they were just kind of shooting randomly.
And tell me what police officers were asking you.
They just wanted to know if I got a good look or if I knew who the shooters were.
Please don't tell me their names, but were you able to identify them? Did you recognize them?
Yeah, one of them. The main gunman I did recognize.
And he's a student at your school?
Yeah.
You have your yearbook here. Is that because police asked you to identify?
Okay, so there's another one, and we got Craig up right now, folks, but I do want to do this. I want to play one more video here for you just to kind of show you the eyewitness accounts as to what took place April 20th, 1999. And we're going to pull up Craig in just a second here, okay? Here, let's watch this one.
Shooting. Go ahead and say your name for me, sir.
I'm Adam Foss.
Adam, what year are you there at the school?
I'm a senior.
And tell me what you saw.
All I saw was the barrels of the guns just going off, blazing. I saw a couple teachers nipping with a bunch of blood. I saw a couple kids just get shot. And after that, I just turned around, had a bunch of my buddies having to get a bunch of people into a room, barricade ourselves in there.
And what part of the school are you talking about?
We were in the crossfire between the science hall and the vocal choir room.
And you said you saw the guns opening fire. Any idea? Did you get a quick glimpse about at least how many?
How many guns?
No, how many guys?
I think three guys and a bunch of 12 gauges, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A lot of conflicting stories during that particular time. And, again, why that is, I have no idea, but we're going to figure that out in just a moment here. I'm actually right now, friends, sending another link over to our friend Craig because for some reason or another, it went down on us, and we're going to send that off to him, and he should have that in just a moment. Sorry about that, folks. These things happen. Here is the new link, and we're going to pull up Craig in just a moment here. Okay, so friends, again, you're seeing firsthand, and I think everybody can remember that day, that time. I do. I remember getting up, and a guy calls me up. It was a youth pastor, and he said, "Hey, Bradley, did you see what just happened over there in Columbine?" And I said, "Columbine, what is that?" He said, in Colorado, there was a school shooting. I said, "No." And it was relatively new to us during that particular time. But with that said, that was the first thing I started noticing was the confliction of stories. There was a lot of conjecture. One person saying this, another person saying that. Some kids seen two shooters, some seen three, some seen four. I've even got accounts from eyewitnesses, friends, concerning the mainstream media that said that there was 5 to 8 shooters. So I want to get to the bottom of this. And with that said, yep, here we go. We got Craig, and glad to see you, guy. It timed out on us, and why that happened, I have no idea. But we're going to pull up Craig Scott right now. Thanks for joining us, man. and again, you know, we go through these things, and every once in a while they happen, and our link timed out on us. But again, thanks for joining us again with such a short notice, Craig. I totally appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
So let's do this. I can remember the day it happened. I got 3 minutes on this first segment, by the way. But I remember the day it happened. I was just telling everybody, I got a phone call from a youth pastor. He said, go on TV, look what's going on. He told me what was going on during that particular time. It was April 20th, 1999. And Craig, obviously, I was an outsider looking from the outside in, and you're an insider experiencing all of this. Can you go ahead and just give us line upon line, precept upon precept as to what went down on that particular day on April 20th?
Sure. For that day, I was, you know, like a normal day of school. I went to school with my sister. We got into an argument in the car, and the last time that I had with her was arguing with her and calling her names and slamming a car door shut on her. Not knowing that would be my last time, and I went into school, and then I went to study for a test in the library during my lunch period, and I heard some popping noise coming from outside the school. It was near the end of the school year, so I thought maybe a senior prank was happening, and some seniors had brought some firecrackers to school, and a few minutes went by, teacher ran to the room, very frantic, screaming at all of us to hide. And so I got underneath the table with two of my friends, Matt and Isaiah, and we're hearing the popping noises getting louder and louder as the shooters came into the school. I realized this wasn't a prank, that it was serious. My two friends just started to freak out, very frantic, and I felt like I heard an inner voice tell me to be still. So I became very quiet and very still, which probably saved my life. The library was the first room the shooters came into, immediately shooting off their guns. They treated it like it was a game, taunting and making fun of students before they shot or killed them. They came over to where I was sitting, and they saw my friend Isaiah, who was one of the black students at my school. So one of them called the other shooter over. They drug Isaiah out from underneath the table, calling him racial slurs. And he tried to back up, and the last thing that he said was, I want to see my mom. And they shot and killed Isaiah, shot and killed Matt, left me underneath that table. And I was just paralyzed with fear and couldn't move, couldn't think. And the only thing I needed to do was to pray. And I asked God to take away all this fear that I was having, too much for me to handle. And so at that moment, I felt relief from fear, could move, think. And I was the first student, felt like I heard that same voice tell me, get out of there. So I was the first student to speak up, looked around the room, saw the shooters were gone, yelled at everyone, let's get out of here. I heard someone asking for help behind me, and there was a girl underneath the table rocking back and forth, shoulder thrown off, asking for help. And I helped pick her up, and a group of us ran out of an emergency exit. And as soon as we got behind that police car, the two shooters returned to the library, exchanging gunfire with the police. And right before I left, as other police cars were coming by to pick up students, someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, I think there's a girl from SOD over there.
Can we stop right there, Craig? I got a hard break, my friend. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Sons of Liberty Radio.com. We'll be right back on the other side. We have Craig Scott with us, folks. Hold up with us. He is an eyewitness.
I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
US USA News update. The Justice Department's unsealed indictments against 28 people said to be involved in the system that starts with raw chemicals in China and ends up as fentanyl on the streets of the USA. Most are from Mexico. Some are from China and Guatemala. President Biden's praising those involved in the arrest of accused classified document leaker Jack Teixeira. He's also telling military and intelligence leaders to further clamp down on the distribution of classified information. The Justice Department and the maker of the abortion pill Mifepristone are asking the Supreme Court to throw out the ruling by a Texas judge that invalidated the FDA's approval of that drug. It'll be a star-studded weekend in Indianapolis as pretty much every person who may or may not run for the Republican presidential nomination will be appearing at the National Rifle Association's annual convention. Rich Johnson, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. We're talking with Craig Scott, who's a part of what took place in Columbine on April 20th, 1999. I want to give you a real quick heads up, first and foremost, on social media platforms. If there's anything you'd like to ask Craig, go ahead and throw it out there. I'll do my best to catch it. If not, call in. GCN will pick it up for me. That number is 1-866-582-9933. Sorry about that break. It was one of those mandatory segment breaks there. So with that said, you were just talking about what was going on inside of the library, and then you were outside with the police officers, and then you can go ahead and pick up from there, my friend.
Yeah, so I barely escaped, and the police were exchanging gunfire with the gunman, and right before I got picked up by a police officer, someone tapped me on the shoulder, girl that's been shot out there, and I looked out from my police car, and it was my sister, Rachel Joy Scott. First one that was that day, shooters, and we know about her last moment, boy that was with her, not paralyzed for life, but at the last moment of her life, she was mocked and questioned about shooters are saying, like, pray for God now. The last moment of her life, Eric Harris, please God, and she said, you know, I with
them,
and she took her last
shot. And that was it. She took her stand, and that made her. And you know, I know a lot more of the story, Craig, than probably most people do. But a lot of this stuff, she was actually being used to prophesy concerning some of the things that were in her backpack, as well as what was on the back of her dresser. Is that right? Can you put the phone up a little bit closer to you? People are saying it's hard to hear you. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, she had a prophetic sense about her life being short. She felt like that she was going to live old enough to get married. She told that to my other sisters, my cousins, some of her friends. And at the same time, she felt like God was going to use her to impact millions of people. When she was 13, she traced her hands on the back of an old dresser, and she wrote, "These hands belong to Rachel Joyce Scott and will someday touch millions of people's hearts." That day, about a half hour before the shooting, she told her teacher right before she left class. First, she showed her a picture that she drew. It was the last thing she put in her journal, a picture of her eyes crying, 13 tears. There were 13 victims killed that day. Watering a rose that stops the blood coming off from it. And she told her teacher that she was going to have an impact on the world. And so we found a number of writings and things that just had this prophetic sense about her life being short, but that she would impact millions.
Amen. And she absolutely did. And boy, oh boy. Whenever I'm talking to someone, I always want to try to put myself in their position. And you're in, going back inside the school now and before all this took place. So you're inside of the school. Apparently you were in the library. That's where the majority of the killings took place. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. When you were standing there, did Eric and both Dylan know who you were? And did they make some shot at you in the sense that you're next? Any of that? Or it was like you were in the room and they just didn't see you?
No, they didn't know me. I had met them one time before, a couple years before. But they just decided to play God, who was going to live and who was going to die. So for whatever reason, they didn't shoot me. Maybe they felt they did enough damage in my area after killing Isaiah and Matt. So I attribute it to that voice that
Amen.
Saved my life of staying still and quiet, not drawing an attention to myself, and then escaping just in the nick of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to ask you, too, concerning all of this that took place. There's so many conflicting stories as to what was going on in the school. And I have friends that are police all over the country. I have attorney friends that are all over the country. And a lot of them would agree that there's a lot more going on inside of that school than what we were told. I have an account of over 101 eyewitnesses where there was a different story told as to who the shooters were. It seemed that Eric and Dylan were always in the mix, but there's accounts of 3 shooters, 4 shooters, all the way up to 8 shooters. And this coming from mainstream media reporters. Is this true information or is this misinformation?
No, it that was resolved a long time ago. No, there were only 2 shooters. The reason there was thoughts of maybe more is because there was someone that was seen on the rooftop of the building
right.
That was actually a janitor. And so there was only 2 shooters, though. Really, all of this conspiracy theories, none of them are true about Columbine that I've heard. And there were just the 2 shooters.
Okay, and then what about the 2 kids that were shot at Subway a couple days, couple weeks later after that shooting? Did you know those 2 kids?
Stephanie and Nick. Stephanie lived right behind me, actually. I didn't know them well, but it wasn't connected with Columbine, and they still never discovered who the shooters were. Nobody really knows what happened. I knew them as kind of, kids that dabbled in drugs, and I don't know if it had anything to do with that. That's total speculation. But it didn't have anything to do with Columbine.
Okay, so then let's put some other things to rest. Then what about the SWAT team members that were outside of the building? Was that all done professionally? Did you see any holes in that? Were you wondering why there wasn't more help, or did it seem to ally itself in a way that it should have been done during that particular day?
No, there were a lot of mistakes made. Hindsight is 20/20, and the police know that they made mistakes. Now, because of Columbine, it's go in and eliminate the threat. But they were getting conflicting reports. It took them way too long to get into the school. And because of that, sadly, a teacher, Dave Sanders, passed away. He bled to death for over 3 hours in a science classroom. But it was, something like this had never happened before. This was his first mass school shooting. And so it was, I don't have hold any kind of blame or grudge against it. I know that they would do it differently now if they could.
Absolutely. And, I guess that's how we learn. Sometimes it's just at the cost of maybe someone's life, and I'm sure that wasn't advertent on so many different levels. I think another thing, if you don't mind me going back to Eric and Dylan, and I don't want to highlight them in any sense of the word, but I do want to know, what was it that led up to them acting out in such a fashion?
Well, you know, the news media really painted the story. The big story that came over the news narrative was that these two were pushed to the edge because of bullying at school. And that's why since then we've had all this anti-bullying, since Columbine, this anti-bullying messages in schools. But that really was the smaller factor. And even the psychologists that have looked into why, if you were to ask me why the shooting happened, and a lot of these shootings happen, because I learn about a lot of them, is that these two focused on everything that was negative in this world. And that is more the reason why the shooting happened. They had a lot of good things in their life, but they didn't see any of that. They only saw the negative. Eric drove a BMW to school. They came from affluent families, went to a nice school. They had friends at school. I knew kids that were treated, picked on, bullied worse than they were. But they just focused and dwelled on a lot of the negative stuff through the media. That's why one of my messages when I share my story is about choosing positive influences, because what we focus on, we get power to. And so the shooters really focused on everything that was negative on a daily basis through media, over the internet, movies, music, games. It didn't make them do what they did, but it was a big influence. And so, you know, there was no good reason. That on the front cover of Time magazine, it said why. Because there was no good external reason. It wasn't, you know, these kids had faced, you know, complete ridicule and ostracized, and there wasn't abuse. These weren't them targeting certain people who had hurt them. They had a hit list. They didn't kill anybody on that hit list, and they ended up killing kids that had never done them any harm. A lot of these kids were kids that were in the library studying, so they were, you know, studious students, a lot of them, kind, you know, considered maybe nerdy at school. And so these were, you know, they became the ultimate bullies. So, you know, there was just no good outside reason. It was all stuff going on within their thought life and in their hearts. And I think that's where the biggest problems lie, is it's cultural, mental health. You can call it spiritual issues with people today. And it's also where the solution lies.
Amen.
That's why when I go and travel and speak, I talk about issues of the heart.
Well, you know, as the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And we also know that we're supposed to make choices every step of the way. And I think people want to excuse their choice, you know, the choices that they make, and they want to hide behind something, or that they were the victim of this, that, and the other thing. And as you were just talking about how other kids that you've known, they were bullied much more. Well, you know, in the old days, they used to say that was good because it created character. And now they're hiding behind everything but responsibility, and I think that's really where we're missing it. But I do have to say this before I pulled you up on the show here, Craig. I had given a quote by Benjamin Rush, who said, if we were ever to remove the Bible from public schools, we would be wasting so much time punishing crimes and taking so little pains to prevent it. And look where we're at today. Now it seems like it's just kind of, it's common news now, hearing about another school shooting. I've done about 365 public high school assemblies in about 25 states. And what I want to do is, as a matter of fact, I was leading up to telling you that I did a high school in Bemidji where Jeff Weiss walked into the school after he shot his grandpa and then his grandma, and that was attributed to him being on antidepressants. Then he walks inside of the school and shoots nine other people. So we want to be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem. And I see that that's exactly what you've been doing since April 20th. And due to the fact that I got a hard break coming up on me again. On the other side, Craig, I want to ask what you've been doing ever since April 20th, 1999, because I know that that birthed your ministry. So we'll get back right back with Craig Scott here, friends, eyewitness of Columbine. And if you want to call in,
at
please do.
1-866-582-9933. Our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of Liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Before it's news, I'm proud to be a sponsor of Sons of Liberty Radio, featuring Bradley Dean, live stream on our website at 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday. BeforeIt'sNews.com would like to invite our audience to share Sons of Liberty Radio with your family and friends.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. Check out sonsoflibertymedia.com and or sonsoflibertyradio.com. And when you go over there, friends, that's who we are, what it is that we've done. You're to judge us by our fruit, Matthew 7:16. So do so. We challenge you, and we also invite you to do that, pro or con. That was my point. Folks, we got Craig Scott, eyewitness to Columbine, was in the center of it. He lost Rachel, his sister. And he is sharing with us information as to what happened from the inside out so we could get a better perspective, obviously, and it's always better coming from the eyewitnesses than through the mainstream media anyways. I mean, folks, you know, he said, she said doesn't fly very long. It really doesn't. But let's get back to Craig. And Craig, what I wanted to ask is, I wanted to ask this lastly on purpose. I know that that birthed your ministry, obviously, because I know that I've seen you out there. I've been out there for 23 years now. Matter of fact, case in point, after Columbine High School, after that shooting took place, that's what in a lot of ways really catapulted us to get out into the high schools, to be a part of the answer and not a part of the problem. I do have to say on a side note, though, if you don't mind, I can't tell you how many times I've done high school assemblies where I wasn't sure if I was going to get shot. During those days Sometimes we had 3,500 students in a high school assembly. I just wasn't sure what was going to go down, because I see what's happening in public schools in a lot of ways. Is there really, you got videos everywhere, you got guards everywhere, armed guards everywhere. It seems like it's really become metal detectors, fences around the yard. It's like it's becoming a police state in public schools. So I think that added a lot to what, you know, my thoughts were when I was doing high schools. And I can imagine how many high schools you've done and speaking engagements that you've done since April 20th, 1999.
I'm sorry, what's your question?
I mean, I can imagine what you've done. I mean, how many speaking engagements, how many high schools have you done? I mean, that was the birth of your ministry. And I'm just curious to know how busy you've been over the last 23 years as well.
Yeah, well, it became my mission and to make a positive impact kind of after I went through everything. The shooters had a goal. They talked about in a video they made a month before the shooting, start a chain reaction of school shootings. And a month before the shooting, they made this video. At the same time, a month before, my sister wrote a paper in her class that she titled My Ethics, My Codes of Life. And in it, she gave a challenge to the young generation to step out in compassion to start a chain reaction of kindness. So I think that compassion and kindness can be the biggest antidote to anger and hatred. And at the same time that I teach kindness, I also think it's important to teach resilience, because you want to be kind to others, but you don't want to expect the world to be fair and kind, and you want to be resilient. And so, but I've been traveling since. I've spoken to over a million people, mostly teenagers. I've done thousands of events, thousands of schools, and over 30 million people have heard my sister's story in live presentations, because I help build a program that reaches a lot of schools with a lot of different speakers, and sharing my sister's story. And I have a book at home of over 10,000 emails from kids that had just contemplated suicide, heard the story, and held on. Because one of the big messages that I have that Columbine taught me was just the value of people, the value of human life, that we have an extreme, inherent, built-in value. And your value is not based on what other people think about you, what you look like. Your value is not even based on what you do. Now, your value to others is based on what you do, but you have a built-in value. You have a capacity at any time to do good, to love. Scripture says we're fearfully, wonderfully made. And so I teach kids about believing in this value. Dylan, one of the shooters at Columbine, his mom wrote a book. She said the last few months of his life, he would never look at her in the eyes. And she said that they valued him, but he didn't believe in his own value. And when somebody believes in their own value, their own potential, not in an egotistical way where I'm better than other people, but where I have incredible value, and I'm made this way, and you believe that about yourself, it changes a lot of things psychologically, spiritually, changes what you allow into your life. Because if you think you have a lot of potential, then you're going to say no to negative influences that could rob your potential. And so I have a program that's very impactful. My goal is to be the most comprehensive, impactful school assembly program in the world. I've been doing this ever since Columbine happened. I've been speaking in schools since I was in high school. And I see just the powerful effect that it has on the school culture. I have superintendents and principals that tell me that months after the presentation and program has come through, that it's still affecting the school. That the way kids are treating each other has changed. That had a cultural long-term impact. So that's my goal. I believe that, you know, and I don't focus on trying to stop bullying or stop school shootings. I focus on trying to start the right things and inspire character. Because when you focus on the right things, I'm not an anti-bullying program. I'm a pro-kindness compassion program. When I focus on the right things, it automatically negates the wrong thing. There's a lot of people out there that will focus on stopping the bad, and they attack the darkness. They fight the darkness, but it's better to light a candle. And you might, you know, stop something bad, but by going in there and focusing on anti-bullying, but much better to inspire kids with a positive role model, a powerful story, an inspiration to treat everybody with value, including yourself.
Amen.
So it's been a real privilege. I on a weekly basis, I go out of town about once a week, and I see kids making life choices every week. I have a line of students that talk to me after assemblies, and I receive at least a couple of kids every week that are contemplating suicide that have a change of heart.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's about. That is ministry right there. I was going to ask you, how's your dad and your mom doing?
My parents are doing good. My dad, he runs a program called Rachel's Challenge, which I helped build.
Yep.
And then I have my own program. And I'm rebranding. It's going to be called Life Choices, but right now it's just Craig Scott Events. But I'm partnered with my dad's organization, and my mom had a movie made that was very powerful. It was lower budget. It was called I'm Not Ashamed. And the reason for the title is a 1 year to the day before Rachel died, she wrote in her journal, and she started off by saying, it's like I have a heavy heart, this burden upon my back. I feel like crying, but I don't know why. And then she went on to say that she was losing her friends at school because she was living out her faith. And she went on to say, but you know what? It's all worth it to me. I'm not going to apologize for speaking the name of Jesus. I'm not going to hide the light that God has put into me. I'm not ashamed. And she ends her journal by saying, if I have to sacrifice everything, I will. I'll take it. And a year later to the day, when the shooter has his gun against her head, asking her if she still believes in God, she didn't deny it. And so so the movie that my mom had made is called I'm Not Ashamed. You can find it on YouTube and watch it. It's really good.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it. Yeah, everybody's seen it, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
I have plans to do a bigger production. I also work on movies. I live in Atlanta, right next to a big studio where they do all the Marvel movies. I'm producing a couple features this year. But I want to do inspiring stories, and I have plans to do a show about really the spiritual forces and the things about Columbine. And so I have a lot of people that want to help with that when the time is ready.
Amen. I got about 30 seconds left, Craig. Where would people find you online?
If you're an educator or you want me to come to your school or your child's school, please just visit craigscott.org. At the bottom, there's a page just to fill out. My program director will be in touch. And or I do keynotes at conferences, at churches. And so I love the impact this has, so please consider me if you know something that you can plug me into. So craigscott.org is how they can get in contact with me.
Okay, perfect. Well, again, we're about ready to shut me down. And with that said, I totally appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on with such a short amount of time. As you well know, I was with your cousin a couple weeks back in Arizona doing a ride-along. Unbeknownst to me, we started talking about Columbine, and he said, you know, Craig's my cousin. And I said, well, this is really cool the way this is being lined up. So that's how we made the connection. And again, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for hanging in there, and thanks for overcoming, because that's what we need, is we need overcomers in Christ, and we know without him, we're not going to be able to do that. So God bless you, and we'll see you out there sometime sooner or later, Craig. And I appreciate
right.
you.
Thank you.
Brian. Yep. Folks, if you want to check us out online, please do. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. Perfect timing. That was the show. I wanted to give him as much time as he wanted, and hopefully I accommodated and accomplished just that. We will talk to you from the East Coast coming up this weekend. So see you, 1 John 3:18.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthur decks for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.